message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We live in a day of confusion and doubting, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of wondering what's going on. And you know, one of the most confusing things in all the world is to look out at the church and at Christendom and try to figure out what in the world is the church doing. Most organizations, Christian organizations, I was just in a Bible conference just a few weeks ago where we met in a college campus and had our meeting and our Bible conference. And just the week prior to that conference, as I was with a group of men visiting the campus, looking at the facility and making arrangements, there was a group of hundreds of women from a certain denomination there on that campus. And as we discussed with them and chatted with them about what they were doing, they were a mission organization. And they were there seeking to identify their mission in the world. What is it that they should be doing? And I asked one of the ladies, one of the leaders, as I talked with them, said, isn't it a little late in the course of history to just now be trying to identify what the mission of the church is, what the mission of that denomination is? And oh no, we're redefining ourselves and trying to understand and trying to figure out and that kind of thing. But you know, the average person, as you approach the church and Christendom, and you see churches and you see preachers and you listen to them, it's kind of confusing about what's going on. If I weren't saved and if I didn't understand the Word of God rightly divided, I'd look out there and I'd scratch my head and I'd say, what in the world is happening? What in the Sam Hill's going on out there? I mean, here's a man down on one corner and he's preaching that you get saved by grace through faith and plus nothing, just simply faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith alone is all that God requires for you to have your sins forgiven and go to heaven. You go right down to the next block and there's a man says, no, it's not by faith alone, but it's by faith plus works. Faith alone can't save, but it's faith and works. It's by faith and works that a man are justified with God. And he'll tell you about all the works that you have to do and talk about the things that are required, that God would require, and quote scripture to show it to you. You go down another corner and a man says, well, we worship on Sunday and not on the Sabbath because we're under grace and not under the law. God's taken us out from under the law. You go down another street corner and somebody says, no. We're under the law. You have to keep the law of God. You have to go to church on the Sabbath day and blah, 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 on and on and on. And, you know, you look at that and you say, what in the world? How can it be the same church? How can they all be right? How can they all be Christian? How can Christendom have people saying one thing and then turn right around and saying something entirely different? You know what that is? Well, in any realm of life, you'd call that confusion. You'd say, you know, somebody better figure out what's going on. And that's why God's given us His Word. You know, the real problem, the core problem for the confusion rest in a failure to rightly divide the Word of Truth. The Apostle Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. You don't need to be confused and wondering what's going on, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. When you rightly divide the words, you avoid confusion. Now, we study on this broadcast. As we meet together, we study the Word of God, and we've been doing that. And I trust you tune in on a regular basis to this program as it's aired in your area. And that you're studying with us and that you'll get your Bible. Get a King James Bible and sit down and notice the passages in it. And let the words on the page in a King James Bible make a difference in your life. And as you do that, you begin to see, as we've seen over and over, the importance of following Paul's injunction to rightly divide the Word of Truth. Because the basic confusion that comes in Christendom comes from a failure not so much to be scriptural, because everybody will quote scripture to you, but it's a failure to approach the scripture in the way that God designs for it to be approached. You see, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. God has placed in His Word profit for you. But if you're going to get that profit out of the Word of God, you have to approach the Word of God in God's way. And that is, you have to rightly divide it. Now, there's a difference, and we've talked about this in our program, in our studies together. There's a difference. There are different gospels. There are different messages of good news in the Word of God. You have to be able to distinguish between them and identify the one that is to you and to me today. There are different apostles in the Word of God. For example, there's the Apostle Peter, the apostle of the circumcision. He preached the gospel of the circumcision, Galatians 2 says. Then there's the Apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle of the uncircumcision, who preached the gospel of the uncircumcision. Now you look at listen to the words, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. Those titles are different. They identify different ideas and concepts, and the titles wouldn't be different if the contents of those gospels were the same. They're obviously different. You need to be able to distinguish between them and then identify the one that is in operation today, as opposed to the one that was in operation in time past or will be in the ages to come. You see, we have to understand what God's doing today in the dispensation of grace, not just that all the Bible's for us, it is, but to find out what in the Bible is to us and what in the Bible is about us. That's what right division's all about. There's the Apostle Peter, the apostle of the circumcision, Israel's apostle. Then there's the Apostle Paul, the apostle of the uncircumcision. Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. There's a basic distinction between those two men, Peter and Paul, and the ministries that those men have committed to them. For example, our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we let this represent the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, located in the books of Matthew through John. Jesus Christ comes to the nation Israel. He ministers to the nation Israel. He chooses out 12 apostles and He trains those 12 apostles. Jesus Christ dies. He's resurrected. He ascends into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit back on the 12 apostles back here. He takes these 12 men, trains them in here for a ministry that they're going to carry on for Him after His ascension. He sends the Holy Spirit on them and empowers them, and they go forth out here and carry on this ministry. Peter is the head of these apostles. He's made the head of the 12. The 12 apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, He says, you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall come and sit upon the throne of His glory. Out over here when Jesus Christ comes back and sits in His kingdom glory. By the way, that's supposed to be a throne. I understand some people look at that and they say, what is that? And it's a couple of mountains with humps around it, or a deformed camel or something. No, that's supposed to be a throne. The idea here is a kingdom. Jesus Christ comes back and sets up the kingdom. He sets up His kingdom in the earth as He's promised to do. Deuteronomy chapter 11, Moses says about that day, it'll be as the days of heaven on earth. So it's called, John the Baptist says to the nation Israel, repent for the kingdom of heaven. The days of heaven on earth are at hand. And so on and so forth. Peter and the 12. He says to you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory, Christ comes back and saves the nation Israel. They're regenerated. They're born in a day, and they inherit their kingdom. He says, you which have followed me in the regeneration will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 apostles, the purpose for there being 12 apostles is to judge the 12 tribes of Israel, who then will go out and take the Word of God to the Gentile nations in the earth out here. In other words, God's salvation will flow to the Gentiles through Israel. In thy seed, God told Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So Peter is the apostle of the circumcision. He's Israel's apostle back here. He's given the gospel of the circumcision that pertains to that kingdom out there. When Jesus Christ goes away, He sends the Holy Spirit on the apostles here, and they go out and they minister. And in the Acts period, the early Acts period, you'll see that ministry going on and that kingdom hope being executed. Then You come to the middle part of the book of Acts and something happens. God Almighty sets the nation Israel aside. The Lord Jesus Christ, who's gone up here into heaven, reaches down and saves the chief leader of the rebellion against himself, a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle. Saul of Tarsus was the leader of the rebellion of the world against the Lord Jesus Christ. He was persecuting the followers of the Messiah back here. He had joined together with Rome and was leading the rebellion. The Jews and the Gentiles had joined themselves together against the Lord and against His anointed, and Paul had the legal authority in Acts chapter 9 to go out and to bind and to persecute them. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory saves the Apostle Paul, saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle, and sends him forth with a system of with the gospel, not of the circumcision, but what he calls the gospel of the uncircumcision. He interrupts the prophetic program and starts a new program called the dispensation of the grace of God. This program back here is the gospel of the circumcision. The message in there is the gospel of the uncircumcision. The ministry back here is headed up by Peter, the apostle of the circumcision. The ministry in here is headed up by Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles. You want to settle some confusion in your own mind today. Listen, you don't need religion. You don't need the confusion that comes from not knowing what in the world is going on. The book tells you what to do, and the book tells you how to rightly divide it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly ministry of Christ, the book of Acts, offers made to Israel through Peter and the 12. God sets them aside, raises up the Apostle Paul, and in Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles, you have this new information. This thing's called a secret. That is, this is a program and a purpose that God Almighty kept hidden Himself until the Lord Jesus Christ up here in heaven's glory revealed it to Paul. That's why he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to you, how that by revelation Christ made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages back here was not made known unto the sons of men. Peter didn't know about it. The apostles didn't know about it here. It was first revealed to Paul, and then through him, the Spirit of God revealed it to others until today you and I can know about it as it's been laid down for us in the Word of God and propagated down through history. Now, these two programs, the program back over here, Israel's kingdom program back over here, under the law back here, the kingdom law, the body of Christ in here, under grace, this program back here looks forward to that time over there. This program in here, nobody back here knew about it, didn't know how to look forward to it. Now, that's two basically different programs, two basically different systems. This one operates on the basis of the law. This one operates on the basis of grace. Now, there's something you need to understand. Here we are over here in the dispensation of grace. If that's where we are and that's who we are, we're members of the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, and what God's doing in the world today is forming a spiritual body of believers called the body of Christ, identifying us together in one body by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, we understand the secret meaning of His death. We understand all that God accomplished there, for He died there to pay for everything that's wrong with you and with me. He died for our sins. God raised Him from the dead to make Him the author of eternal life to everyone that believes. Now, God Almighty isn't doing something in here for no reason. God has a purpose. He has something He's going to do in the ages to come out there with the church, the body of Christ. We're here with a purpose to perform, and that purpose is laid out for us in the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, confusion comes when we don't understand and we try to follow the wrong instructions. And folks, the basic confusion that comes in the church today, the basic confusion in Christendom today, the basic confusion in religion today that goes under the name of Christ is a failure to rightly divide the word of truth, and it's to try to follow the wrong orders, the wrong commission, the wrong instructions. Those dear ladies at that conference said to us, you know, we're trying to identify the role that God has for us in the world today. My friend, that role is identified clearly in the Word of God. But you know, you can listen to preachers all day long and get confused. While there are preachers on the television, on the radio, on the street corner, writing literature, sending out tapes, doing all kind of, and you say, what in the world? Hey, the answer is something you can get a hold of. You don't have to wonder about it. Look here. Matthew, Jesus Christ died, prior to, and then he rose again. He's right in that period of time right there. He spent about 40 days with his apostles. Come with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. During his post-resurrection, after his resurrection, before his ascension, he gave some instructions to these people as to what they were to do. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19. Well, Matthew 28, make it verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. These people to go out and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now notice what they're told to do back here. He says, go out and teach all nations. Number one, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then they were to teach them to observe all things that He'd commanded them. Go back with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Now follow what's going on here. Read your Bible and see what it says. You want to do what these people want to do what Christ told them to do back here? They're to go out and teach the nations, and the first thing they're to do is make disciples of them. They're to baptize them, bring them to faith in the Messiah, and then they're to begin to teach them. What are they to teach them? All things whatsoever I commanded you. Well, notice it. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 19. Matthew 5, 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Look at that. Jesus Christ talking to him about the law. He says in verse 17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then he says, Whosoever shall do and teach the law shall be great in the kingdom. You know what they're going to teach back here? They're going to teach the law. You know why? The guy that's going to be great in that kingdom is going to be a guy who was baptized and identification with Messiah, and then who taught the law. And Isaiah chapter 2 says the law is going to go out and cover the earth, go out to the Gentiles there and cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Now contrast that with 1 Corinthians, if you would. Notice the difference, will you? I want you to see the difference in the content of what these people are commissioned to do back here and what these people in here are commissioned to do. These people back here are commissioned to go out and water baptize the disciples and identify them together with Messiah. They're to then teach them the law, teach them to observe what Christ commanded them. And Christ told them that if a man teaches you the law, he'll be great in the kingdom. If he teaches you not to keep the law, he'll be least in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. For Christ sent me. Now notice, Jesus Christ saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle, and then he commissions him. Just like he commissioned these people, the 12 back here, he commissions Paul. And Christ, he says, sent me, you see that next word, not to do what? Baptize. Were these people back here sent to baptize? There isn't any doubt that they were. Was Paul sent to baptize? There isn't any doubt that he was not. The verse says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So he preaches a gospel. But folks, it can't be the same gospel that these people back here preach, because this gospel back here contained the issue and required the performance of water baptism. Notice it. Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter 16. Our Lord, in Mark's record of his post-resurrection commission, says to his disciples in verse 15 of Mark 16, he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is, to go out and make disciples of the nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That verse is pretty clear. That verse says, he that believes and is baptized gonna be saved over here. He that believes not is going to be damned. The wrath of Almighty God poured out in that tribulation period is going to get him. And he's going to be destroyed and cast into hell. That's pretty clear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now I know what preachers do. They say, well, it doesn't really mean that. It means he that believes and is saved should be baptized. But I bet there's somebody who'll come along sooner or later and say, yeah, but that isn't what that verse says. And it sure isn't. You know what that verse does? Peter standing on the day of Pentecost, working under that commission, you know what he said? He said, repent ye therefore and be in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what he's saying? He's saying you need to change your mind about your Messiah. You need to repent, and you need to be identified with him in water baptism. And you tune in next week, and we're going to talk about why that water baptism was important for him and why it was an issue back here. But I want you to see the difference in here. These people had to be baptized. Paul over here said, Christ didn't send me to do that. Then I know something. I know the gospel he preached isn't the same as the gospel they preached. That's why it's called the gospel of the uncircumcision as opposed to the gospel of the circumcision. Different issues, different commissions. Come with me to Romans chapter number 6, if you will. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 14. Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, these people back here under this commission are told to teach people the law. Go put them under the royal kingdom law and observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Christ commands them to keep the law and obey them that sit in Moses' seat. Paul says in here, you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Folks, Paul had no right to change the instructions. Except for the fact that Jesus Christ himself has changed the program. You got to understand that. And there has been a change. Can you see how confusing it would be for you to take what, for you to think that what you ought to be doing in here is that stuff back there? You take the information, the instructions, and the commission Christ gave his apostles back there, and you try to put them in here in the dispensation of grace where we live today, and you and I try to obey those things, you know what's going to happen? Absolute confusion, absolute bedlam. Look around you. But you want an answer to that? There's the answer right there. That's wonderful, you know that? That's a blessing. It's a blessing to see what God is doing today and to understand what it is God's doing today and to be able to appreciate what God is accomplishing in the world today. What is that? Well, what it is he's forming the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of the grace of God. Come with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. And look with me at Galatians chapter 2. We're going to run out of time here. I want to get this passage first. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 7. And notice how Galatians 2, verse 7 fits with all this passage, all that we've been talking about. Galatians 2, 7. Paul says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul went up to Jerusalem in Acts 15, and he went up and communicated to Peter and to the other Jerusalem apostles that were there before him this new program that God had given to him. And when they saw that this gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto him, just like the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me over here, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, the Gentiles, and they to the circumcision. In other words, these people back here had been sent out to every creature, to all the nations, with this message. Then Paul gets saved over here and Christ gives him a new system of knowledge and information, a new program over here. And in due time, he goes up and communicates this new thing to these people that were there before him. And you know what they do? They say, Paul, we see the change. And we're willing to agree with what God's doing. We see it, we agree with it, and we're going to give you the right hand. We're going to enter into a solemn public agreement. And we're going to, Jesus told Peter, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He wasn't talking about anybody's purse strings. He was talking about authority to act in the absence of his king. And he gave them what constituted a quorum. He said, when two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter had the authority to do it all by himself, or the group together, two or three gathered together, had the authority to do it. And in Acts chapter 15, they literally loose themselves from this commission. The so-called Great Commission of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts 1, the post-resurrection commission, literally goes out of commission in Acts 15. And if Peter were to stand here on this television program today and talk to you, you know what he'd tell you to do? He'd say, follow Paul. Follow the ministry that God gives you through the apostle of the Gentiles. Let me ask you a question. The Bible, Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. You know who you are? You're a Gentile. You know who you are? You're one of the nations. You say, well, what about if I was an Israelite? What if I was a Jew today? Listen, God Almighty doesn't count that as any special favor. He set the nation Israel aside. A Jew is no different before God than a German or a Greek or an Italian or an African or an Oriental, a Korean or a Cambodian or whatever. We're all the same today. We're just part of the nations. Paul is the apostle of the nations. You know who your apostle is? Paul. You know what your commission for today is? Right there in Paul's epistles. And if you'll follow the word of God to you through the apostle of the Gentiles, the confusion that comes from wrongly dividing the word will be done away. And you can understand just what it is God's doing today and how the message today is a message of grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, A Panoramic View of the Program of God. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape number 124. That's tape number offer 124. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.